Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grimchat, your weekly podcast on everything disability. Today with me, I have a very special guest, Member of Parliament for Gosford. Hello, Liesl.
Hello, Abraham. I'm so excited to be here. Let me tell you, have I got your pronunciation right?
Yes. Well done, Abraham.
Thank you. And it's great to see you again. We have met before with the Physical Disability Council of New South Wales. So, yeah, congratulations on what you're doing.
Welcome. Thank you for being on the show today. So today we're going to be talking about accessibility to the built environment for people with disability. But of course, before we get into it, just a special announcement. Unfortunately, one of the founding members of Physical Disability Council of New South Wales, John Bruce Moxon, has sadly passed away. And so he's been an advocate in the space for a long time. And so we just want to pay our respects from here, from Australian Disability, and just honour his, contributions, and also the work that he's done. And also extend our deepest condolences to his widow, Margaret, and the family at this time. We pay our respects.
Can I just say also, I think, to John and all the founding members, the work, the foundations that you've put in place to change the lives and support inclusion for all of us with physical disabilities is super important. So, John, thank you and condolences to your family as well.
Thank you very much for that. Very touching, Liesl. Moving on. Welcome, Liesl. Thank you for being on the show. Liesl, do you just want to briefly introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, I'm Liesl Tesh. I suppose I'm currently the Member of Parliament for Gosford. I'm also a retired Paralympian. So before I got into this job, I competed at 7 Paralympic Games. So my first 5 games were playing wheelchair basketball. So out of that came 2 silvers and a bronze medal. And then I changed to sailing. I jumped ship literally onto a boat with fabulous quadriplegic sailor Dan Fitzgibbon. And Dan and I won a gold in London and a gold in Rio. So, and simultaneously that, I was running a teaching career, so I was a full-time high school geography, business studies, Aboriginal studies teacher, and I've also, in my geography background, got a passion for development. So my fabulous friend Jackie Lauf and I set up an international aid and development organisation called Sport Matters, which used sport. We started that sport as a tool to bring people with disabilities in together and unite communities and empower individuals, but that spread to sport for international development and change. So there's been a bit going on in my background, but now I'm 100% committed to being the MP for Gosford. I might also add, I'm an incomplete paraplegic, so I'm pretty much a full-time wheelchair user now as things degenerate and I get a bit of nerve pain, but I wear ankle-foot orthotics and I walk short distances. So I've had a pretty, I think, amazing life to be able to, living with this woman with a disability, making the most of opportunities.
That's awesome. That's awesome. They're still keeping yourself busy out there in the community. Yeah, so much achievement. So good on you. So why did you enter the State of Parliament in New South Wales?
Well, it's interesting. When I changed sports from basketball to sailing, I had a bit of time on my hands. I wasn't travelling up and down the expressway from the Central Coast to Sydney 3 nights a week for training. And so I joined the Labor Party because I thought that was the right thing to do to give back to my community. And I just believe Labor has made my life better. I got a free education from Gough Whitlam. I had my accident in Australia where Medicare meant that my whole hospitalisation and helicopter flight and the whole lot was free. And I think now Labor, with the Everybody Counts, I think that NDIS is an incredible policy. So I joined the Labor Party, never imagining I would become a local Member of Parliament. But that's, I suppose, what took me on the journey to then, and then sailing, my Paralympic sport wasn't in 2020. So when my local member's letter came in the post to say she was resigning, I sort of intuitively knew that I might be putting up my hand to be an MP, and goodness knows what that was going to be. And so hence I'm the first wheelchair-using MP in New South Wales. So, yeah, it's been exciting and a few challenges in there as well, Abraham.
Wow, such an amazing achievement. It's good. I've quite a long way. When it comes to, you know, access to ramps, lifts, and public facilities and buildings in New South Wales, what are the guiding policies, standards, and codes that are applicable?
Oh, don't get me started. this is really interesting because I've come into, and I'm not going to talk in boring policy words and standards and codes. I'm going to talk in pragmatic realities that impact our community. And I think my coming into the parliament, I've got a parliament that has got nice stairs out the front and a ramp that goes down the back to the, possibly the slowest lift in Australia, where I can go up the lift and get my guests who have come in up the stairs to the parliament. At the back of the parliament had no ramps at all except the car ramp. So I would then go at the back of the New South Wales Parliament, have this thing called the Tree of Knowledge, where a lot of the big TV interviews are. So if there was something on or a protest out the back of Parliament, I would go down the stairs backwards in my chair, and then I'd come round the hospital to get back in the front where there's a ramp and access. In the end, after 2 years, I'm like, to hell with that and workplace health and safety, I'm going down the car ramp. So then I used to go down the car ramp whilst pushing the government from opposition. Like if we were in government, Labor would have done it. Like there's a wheelchair user in the parliament, fix this workplace, make it accessible. 4 years it took to get two more ramps into the parliament. We've now got a ramp into the speaker's garden. So that's the example. And then even now in my own electorate, accessible codes are important. But what's actually happened at Point Clare train station for our accessibility upgrade, the government has promised a lift with ramps around it. There's space there to do it. They've put the community consultation plans out. When it's come to the build, they've taken something that was a step-free access from one side of the train station to the other, from one road to the other, and they've put three sets of stairs in and they've taken the ramps completely out of the plans. And that's accessible in their theory. So we can get in a lift, we'll get in a lift, go down one flight of stairs, go through the thing, get in another lift and go down another flight of stairs or another flight of stairs. Like it's just unreal. So whilst there might be guiding policy standards and codes, there's still a whole bunch of non-compliance. And I think my thing now is working with the Department of Transport. It might be compliant, but is it inclusive? So I think that's exactly a real standard that we as government should be setting up about what is accessible, but what is actually inclusive and how can we actually participate with equity in our own communities? Like how dare you take something that was wheelchair accessible away and put three sets of stairs in and take the ramps out of the picture and then, oh, it's all right, Liz, the lifts work 99% of the time. Yeah, but you know what? I want to go to the airport on the lift and they don't work. Like it's just crazy. So that's probably not the, exactly, the formal answer, but that's the pragmatic reality that we live with. And exactly, I will continue exactly to fight.
Exactly, it's spot on. It's all about inclusion and it's very important. How is it our right to fully accessibility legislated for in New South Wales? And which government minister has a carriage of the issue of accessibility to the built environment?
Well, I don't know if you've been watching budget estimates this week, but the minister, supposedly for disability, appears to have no responsibility whatsoever for accessibility or inclusion. So that responsibility apparently lies with the Minister for Transport or the Minister for Education or the Minister for Health and accessibility. Like, I don't quite know, given budget estimates this week, what the Minister for Disabilities actually has responsibility for in New South Wales. But I can tell you now, under a Labor government, Kate Washington, who is our shadow minister, would be the first person standing right beside me pointing out that this train station upgrade is not okay. And Transport for New South Wales, Transport Minister, you've got to find some money to fix this problem. Whereas that Minister for Disability, she ain't come near me denying any knowledge. And so I really challenge, what is your job?
Yeah, wow. What is their job exactly?
There has been a bit of it with the shift with the NDIS and where responsibility lies. Like it really is interesting that in New South Wales, the Liberal government seems to have offloaded responsibility for inclusion to some extent. And I commend the Council for Disabilities and lots of disability groups who had to have massive protests to even keep the really, really important advocacy money. That is super important, especially in the transition to the NDIS. It should have been something we had to fight for. It should have been something that we make sure we look after people with disabilities. And it's sort of sad that I'm a bit biased, but I don't feel that that's been happening all that well under the current regime.
We need to use our voice. Do you hear that? For the audience out there, it's important that we use our voice. We need to make change.
Yeah, absolutely. And And also to have, I think it's important to have the voice in here, as frustrating as it is in opposition, that the minister hears that the complaints of this is what it sounds like from the perspective of people who, and it was really interesting, it wasn't just wheelchair users that came out, it was like the motorised scooter users, it was the people who wanted to take their trolley bags up the stairs, it was the kids on scooters, it was the person who had an oxygen tank on wheels. So this is not just about wheelchairs, this is about a much broader community. It's about seniors, people with pink sticks, people don't walk. They put these new stairs in with no handles on the side, like, hello? Yeah.
Wake up. What is like their approach, you know, to their responsibility for the issue of accessibility in New South Wales? And is their response acceptable to you?
Yeah, and I think I probably answered that in my last question. Like, it's been quite frustrating. I mean, the government did at the very beginning when I first was elected, we were having the Invictus Games. So we held a few protests, a few wheelchair users and I, about having access to the Harbour Bridge. And we campaigned for that in 2000 when Louise Savage was racing over the Harbour Bridge at the Paralympics and we didn't get it. So it was really great to be able to put pressure on the government. And then the government actually managed to find the money to install those two lifts. So I think it's time to start thinking about finding the money to make our society inclusive and working with people with disabilities. Like, that's the job of the minister, to listen to what's not right out there and really work to get things right, not just to cut cost corners, to cut people with disabilities out of their communities.
Exactly. It is about all about accessibility and inclusion. Speaking of which, considering your electorate of Gosford, how are access issues catered for in your local area?
And it's interesting, when I first put up my hand to be the candidate, and this old lady banged her walking stick on my wheelchair and said, "Lacel, I hope you're going to fix up the doctor's surgery in North Gosford." And nice. I think, but being in a chair as a wheelchair user around the place, I mean, there's still places that are far from accessible. Today and last night I was at one event, and today was another event where I used the microphone from the floor rather than up on the stage because the stage is not accessible. But I think just being there is making people think, and it takes people a while to think about it. There's one place that I've been challenged with, which is in two pieces of property, two different shopping centres that have had a curb and gutter between them. And so as a result of this curb and gutter, you can't get your shopping trolleys into the next place. And we've been having a small battle there, I reckon, as a private citizen as well. But finally, this week, we've got the Pavilion and Deepwater Plaza have finally got a ramp between the two locations. So I think possibly as a member of parliament, I give more voice to the people that need to see the changes in the community. But when it's the government departments like transport and without the Minister for Disability standing up for us, that's when I feel let down. If private enterprise is doing it, we've got a lift coming into the local regional youth support service. We've got a ramp coming into Drifters, which is a really funk local bar. And I've sort of, this has been me pushing for a while. So I think pushing. But I really feel it's got to be the government. It's got to be the buildings built by the government have to be inclusive as well. Like, we should be leading the way, not dragging our feet.
Awesome. Yeah, you need to be a role model for these people. And you're doing a hell of a good job. Awesome. But there are some challenges. And so what kind of accessibility challenges do you face, say, yourself in your life and the occupation as an elected representative?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, as I said, some of the venues aren't very accessible. There's one place where I get out of my chair and I waddle up the stairs and get someone to carry my chair up. But as I said, that place is getting a lift. That place is getting a ramp put in at the moment. So nice. I think me awesome. Being there is just pushing away. My parliamentary office has got a ramp coming up the side. I've got a great big bathroom, which is really good. I've got parking out the back, which it's got a step to get on one side, but I just am going to go in the roller door. So I think you've got to choose your battles. Like, I think all of us who live with physical disabilities have to choose our battles about access and inclusion. And it's really quite a difficult thing. Like, as I said before, the access to the Harbour Bridge or making the Parliament accessible, I really made my first challenge was a really public thing. It was access to Harbour Bridge rather than my workplace. So the other thing, as I get older and my shoulders are getting older, I'll be looking at working with Job Access to maybe get a mobility device on the back of my manual chair to protect my shoulders a bit longer and get around the tough carpets of the Parliament House. Like, seriously, federal parliament's got to be the softest carpet, which just makes it so hard. And our parliament's not easy either. So there's a few day-to-day things as well, which, like, you just got to work out solutions. And as I said, choose your battles.
Exactly. Manually rolling around on a wheelchair on carpet is not a great thing. It requires an extensive workout.
Yes,
you and I indeed. Both know that. All good. Considering everything when it comes to accessibility for the built environment, how best can people with disabilities affect the process of sustainable policy changes in New South Wales and more broadly across Australia?
Well, it's interesting. I've been down to Canberra and I've had a meeting with Jordan Steele, to talk about what we can do as a collective. We've got a parliamentarian who's an arm amputee, Matt Cowdery in South Australia. We've got another member of the federal, of the Western Australian Parliament who's in the, I think it's the Cannabis Party, who's also registered as having a disability. So my vision now, and I said I will coordinate this, is to bring the four of us together so we have some conversations on a broader, like now that we've got Zoom, it's fantastic. So we can have broader conversations across New South Wales. I've done a presentation before with Ali France, who ran against Peter Dutton, who's a below knee amputee. So I think, and we've also, since I've been in the parliament, we've set up something called Labor Enabled, which is a group of people with and without disability who are got Labor values, who are interested in policy change. So we meet on a regular basis as well. So for me, it's about letting people know that they have a right to have a voice and how they can reach out to their local member of parliament about their disability concerns. A lot of that stuff, when it's NDIS, like, don't hesitate to reach out to your federal member of parliament about your NDIS challenges, and reach out to your local member of parliament about your physical community challenges, physical access challenges, especially on public property. It's challenging, and a lot of that is council-related issues, but your local member of parliament can go into bat for you about challenges to physical access in your local community as well. So, and then I suppose there's all sorts of other things about making sure our sports fields and our sporting opportunities. So we've got NSOs, with National Sporting Organisations, Wheelchair Sports New South Wales, that can help deliver there as well. So there's lots of different angles, but your local MP can help you with physical access, or your federal MP can help you with NDIS access and information.
Yeah, how great is that people with disability are, you know, representing the local and also, yeah, people all around Australia. We need more of that disability representation. Very important.
Yeah, and we've got a fabulous guy on Lake Macquarie Council. So even at local, state and federal level, I just think we have the right to be in there. But I think a lot of the time you've got to be involved in a political party that aligns with your values. And that's part of being part. And that's what I did. I just joined the local Labor Party branch and became part of that branch. And that's where this opportunity has arisen for me. And that opportunity is there for all of us. So you can, if you're a bit political, you can put your hat in the ring as well. Yeah.
That's awesome. Sounds good. Something to know. Thank you very much, Liesl, for allowing us to pick your brain now to help us understand, you know, the role of Parliament. Thank you once again for joining us. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. We always look forward to you coming back.
Yeah.
And so my hat goes off to you. Keep doing what you do. You're amazing.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to come back again. It's been fabulous talking to you. But seriously, reach out to your local state or federal MP if you've got issues about living life with challenges that you think they might be able to help with.
Awesome. Thank you. And you've been watching Quip Chat. Join us next time as we talk about all things disability. Goodbye for now.